Good morning, Bernie Miklas back with you with another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you all for subscribing, making that push to get to 6,000. So tell all your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everybody to subscribe. And thank you all for the comments. Listen, things have been really hectic lately. I haven't been able to spend much time in there. I hope you understand. I read all of them. I love all of them. Even if I disagree with you, it doesn't matter. That is sports, right? In case you're wondering, this cap, I like it a lot. Don't be mad at me because it's got a Cubs thing. The Cubs had a minor league team. In fact, the Illinois State League and also then later on the Mississippi Ohio Valley League in Centralia, Illinois. And Centralia, as many of you know, is really not that far from St. Louis. What is it, 30 miles maybe? Maybe a little bit more. And I just thought it was cool. I had no idea there was a minor league team in Centralia, Illinois, from 1947 through 1952. And a few future major leaguers played on it. So anyway, I couldn't resist, just like I got the Joplin cap from the minor league team in Joplin, Missouri, where Mickey Mantle played. You know, I like the regional stuff too. So anyway, that's that. So the Cardinals had their big news conference yesterday. I thought in some ways it was kind of weird because, on one hand, they acknowledged they needed to change. They realized that they had fallen behind. I appreciate that. I don't know why it took them so long to realize that and why they were so slow to get around and doing the very vital and necessary work to honor their entire franchise history and tradition, which is to have strong player development, strong minor league system. I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals, Branch Rickey specifically, invented the minor leagues and the farm system for sure. So how you get away from something that is truly a St. Louis Cardinals legacy area is just bizarre to me, especially since we talked about a lot, since Bill DeWitt actually was at the forefront in the early aughts of making sure that they were way ahead of most teams in terms of analytics and new ways of drafting and developing, new ways of scouting players, looking for value, finding value, being totally up to speed, and then some in terms of the technology, the analytics. Just let it all blow up, and it makes no sense. So I do appreciate the fact that they finally owned up to it. I don't know that they had any choice unless they wanted to continue to spiral. More on that in a minute. I also think it's strange that they just refused to use the word rebuild. And I'm not sure why that is such a dirty word, why that is like some kind of obscene thing. You know, rebuild. When you all go out today to meet with the media, you know, none of you use the word rebuild. That word is banned at Busch Stadium. We're not rebuilding. You let these media people know it's not a rebuild. What is it then? It's a reset, or it's you can say refresh. It's not a rebuild. I'm starting to sound like Richard Nixon or something. Things just take over my body. I don't know what to say. It's a rebuild, okay? It's a rebuild, and it's okay to be honest with your fans. They still don't get it. They still just can't come out with plain and simple truth. Because most of their fans, listen, there's going to be a lot of fans, including some of y'all, that, you know, you're not going to be happy that the payroll's gone down and you still hold out the, you know, I don't know why they can't go get Juan Soto. I'm being facetious. Nobody of sound mind really thinks that, baseball mind anyway. But the fans are adults. I mean, even the kids that are smart about baseball are adults. They know what's up. It's time. You know, it's okay to say rebuild. It's not a dirty, filthy word. It hasn't been banned. You're not going to get arrested for using it, okay? They just cracked me up with this stuff, the messaging always. So they owned up to their failures, and they're doing a major thing to get this thing back on track doing, they're rebuilding their player development and their minor league system, because as they said many times yesterday, this is what the Cardinals are supposed to be. This is what the Cardinals have been. This is an area of strength. It has been a traditional association with the Cardinals. Everyone knows Cardinals, farm system, player development. That's their hallmark. That's their thing. It's been like that forever. This is what they do best or better than most teams. And I'm referring to the past, not that far ago. So when you are, at least John Mozeliak, and I give him credit for this, you know, at least he acknowledged that the payroll costs, major league payroll costs, are going to go down because they're going to pour so much of their resources into this hugely important and long overdue project to restore the minor leagues and the player development, and to get all the tools, all the technology, all the staffing, all the teachers, all the instructors, pitching lab, hitting lab, a new complex, in effect, headquarters in Jupiter, are going to break ground on that in April 20th, as soon as they finish spring training next spring 25. All this stuff is good. This is good stuff. It's overdue. We can sit here. I can sit here and still, like I did a few minutes ago, rip them for taking so long to do it, but at least they're doing it. This is really, really positive. But when you are taking money away from your major league payroll and you're reinvesting it or rechanneling it into something this big, something they have to do, that's called a rebuild. Okay. Rebuilds don't necessarily mean teardowns. We're blowing this whole thing up. We're blowing it all up. We're starting from the ground floor. You know, it's almost as if we don't exist. We're destroying everything that we've built because we have to start over. You know, they're not doing that. Nobody wants them to do that. Very few do, and nobody expects that. But you're rebuilding. I'm going to keep saying it. You're rebuilding. It's okay to tell your fans that. And why wouldn't, let me get into this, because I'm trying to put a lot of thoughts together. I don't do teleprompters. You know, if we follow the trends, you know, I'm going to appeal to your logic and common sense, I guess, is the way to put it. Listen, again, we can bemoan the reasons why the Cardinals got to this place. All right. We can be ticked off about that. But here we are, and they've got to do something about it. So I'm not going to sit here like today, except for one thing. I got something to say about John Mozeliak and the Cardinals and how Bill DeWitt still doesn't get it. Hold on for that. But Cardinals fans who like understand the way this works, and most do, you know, realize it's time for a rebuild, which is not a teardown, which is not a blow it all up thing. Rebuild. It's okay. That's what they're doing. They're rebuilding. I'm being annoying because I keep saying it, because they wouldn't say it. So I have to say it 1,000 times. From 2000 through 2015, that was a 16-year period, the St. Louis Cardinals competed in 125 postseason games. 125 postseason games over 16 seasons. That was the most in the majors. They also had 65 wins, which was the most in the majors. In fact, 19 more wins in the postseason than any other team in the National League. And, of course, 4 pennants, 2 World Series, getting to the NLCS all the time. The Cardinals had a great, 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 great run. And I know some people want to erase it from history because everybody hates DeWitt, everybody hates Mo, so it never happened. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, champ. It doesn't work like that with me. I do prefer to live in the real world. So please join me. They lost their own greatness. They reneged on the tradition set by George Kissel, Branch Rickey, and others. But man, what an incredible run it was! It was just remarkable. And I was sitting there for all of it. It was just remarkable. But what has happened since then? So I told you most postseason games competed in, most postseason games won over a 16-year period. Well, since the Cardinals last won a World Series in 2011, there have been, let me see if I get this straight. All right. From 2012 through 2023, nine major league teams have won World Series since the Cardinals last did that. Nine teams have won the World Series. Boston 2, Houston 2, the Giants 2, Atlanta, Chicago, Kansas City, the Dodgers, Texas, and Washington had won each. So three of those franchises won at least two, but nine have won World Series since the Cardinals did that. All right, the Cardinals last played in the World Series in 2013, so that was their last pennant. From 2014 through 2023, you know, you're talking about 14 teams have won a pennant, either league, 14 teams. Cardinals, none. Since 2014. So half the industry, basically. Yeah, because you don't, if you don't count the Cardinals, the other 29 teams, 14 won a pennant. More than half. Cardinals, goose egg. You talk about getting to the LCS from 2015 through 2023, nine seasons. 18 teams got to an league championship series. 18 teams. The Cardinals got there one time in 2019. 17 of the teams since 2015, 17 teams have won at least a game in the LCS. The Cardinals have not because they got swept by the Nationals, you'll recall. So you see where we're going with this? You see where we're going with this? Like, this organization, this machine that was just clicking off postseason wins like second nature, like it was no big deal. It's another October. Let's go win some more. Stalled out. They lost the touch. They're not what they used to be. This has been going on for quite a while. I mean, the Cardinals, since if you go back to the start of the 2016 season, you know, they've they're 1-5 in the postseason. And I may have gotten that wrong. Let me correct myself, and I apologize. Since the start of the 2016 season, they're 4-11 in the postseasons. They're 16th in postseason wins, and they've lost 9 out of their last 10. Okay, I got that straight. Too many notes. So pardon the cliche or whatever, the play on words, but they really have lost their way. And when the trend line continues to go down and down and down and down and down and down compared to where you were not all that long ago, well, yeah, you can call it whatever the heck you want to call it. If you want to be little babies and not use the word rebuild because it would hurt your pride to admit you were rebuilding. Oh, we are men of dignity. We're the great Cardinals. We're not going to acknowledge that we're rebuilding. That rebuilding is what those other teams do. Rebuilding is beneath the St. Louis Cardinals. See, the haughtiness is still there. It's amazing. They can claim that they have been humbled by all of this, humbled from the standpoint that they realize if Bill DeWitt didn't get this thing back to where it all started, player development and having an edge competitively on most organizations because you were more advanced in those areas, right? So Bill DeWitt recognized it, and that's great, but they're still haughty about this. And there's also a stubbornness about this that I find fascinating. John Mozeliak, as we know, is coming back, and he's going to run the whole thing in 2025. Chaim Bloom's going to focus on implementing all of the player development changes, and it is a massive project, and absolutely it is going to be something that consumes a lot of his time. I do understand the reason why. I would have preferred, as many of you, that he take over immediately because, after all, he has been studying the thing for a good part of the last year. And, you know, he knows what needs to be done, and he's going to be hiring a new director of player development and a staff to go with that. he could have done both jobs. But listen, that's not what Bill DeWitt chose. That's not what John Mozeliak allowed. And so we can condemn it, criticize it, rip it, blast it, savage it, whatever. They made their decision. And Heim Bloom absolutely could have done both things. But John Mozeliak does not want to leave quietly. There's a defiance there. There's a stubbornness there. There is, yes, still an arrogance. And one thing that didn't get talked about enough yesterday that I find absolutely fascinating and actually kind of funny, because many of you, even like me, always wondered, well, what exactly does Michael Gerst do? He's got the title of general manager, but what does he do exactly? The answer, he was in charge or the head of their analytics department primarily, and he did, you know, help lay groundwork for personnel decisions and making calls and sort of priming the pump to check out the trade market, and then Mo would come in when if it got serious and that kind of thing. But Bill DeWitt is doubling down on John Mozeliak. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? I think some of you know where I'm going with this. Gersh got bounced yesterday. It was announced. He was bounced. They gave him a fancy title to, you know, so it's not so embarrassing or whatever. But he's no longer the general manager. He is the vice president of special projects. Now, I don't know what those projects might be. Would it be to, you know, like I'm going to be kind of mean here. You know, like Heim Bloom was brought in to audit the minor league and player development system, right? Recommend changes. So what is the vice president of special projects going to do for the Cardinals? Are they going to do an audit of, say, for example, the concession stand operation? Is Gertz going to be out there making sure that the hot dogs are properly prepared? Is there a way to save money? Is there a way to save cost at the concession stands, like for the club? I mean, what? And there's some pretty funny memes that, like, floating around Gersh, you know, walking around like a vendor at the stadium or whatever. It's mean. I'm sorry. Gersh is a good person. But let me get serious again, because it's okay to make fun of this a little bit. So Gersh gets the GM title stripped away. And you might say, well, so what? He didn't do anything anyway. Okay, fine. But that's not the point. The point is they stripped it away. And they're not bringing in a new general manager or even promoting within someone to help facilitate baseball operation stuff with Mozeliak, who is the boss. So, and he is absolutely the boss, and he'll let you know it. They're not bringing in a GM because they want Heim Bloom to do that when he takes over a year from now. And that's the way to do it. You don't want to hire someone that he may not want as the GM. And he may not be ready to go through a GM list now because he wants to get the minor league player development thing gone as soon as he can. And I approve of that. We all should approve of that. But the fascinating thing about this is that John Mozeliak will also be the GM. And he made sure everyone knew that. No, I will take over the duties of the GM. I will fill that role. So they're doubling down. You know, Bill DeWitt and BD3, they still don't get how unpopular Mozeliak is with the fan base. So you're going through this rebuild. And even though it is a really valuable thing, what they're going to do to replenish, revitalize, resurrect the minor league player development system, a lot of the work with that is not going to be seen by the public because it's, you know, it's down in the minor leagues. And a lot of it has to do with the facilities and buying equipment and hiring instructors. It's not like there's going to be a running play-by-play of every move they make as they're redoing the minor leagues, right? It's a very important work, but it's out of sight largely. It's out of sight to the fan base, the customers. So it's not enough for Bill DeWitt to bring John Mozeliak back instead of moving him to the shadows and letting Chaim Bloom take over. No, that we can't do that. We're going to give him another title. We're going to make sure everyone knows he's not only the president of the baseball operations, he's also the general manager. How you like them apples, huh? Oh, you don't like Mo? Y'all are sick of Mo? You're burned out on him? You want him gone? Nah, we love Mo. In fact, we love him so much and we believe in him so much. We're going to make him he's going to keep the president of baseball ops job, and then he's going to also be the general manager. I mean, the utter defiance and arrogance of this it's impressive in a way. Because even though the Cardinals still draw very, very well, don't get me wrong, you know, if you finish seventh in the majors in attendance after the stuff that's been going on around this place for the last couple of years, and actually it's been a slow movement in this area of decline, I'm impressed that they're just kind of like, nah, we don't care. Mo's our guy. And he's going to leave on his own accord, and that's just the way it is. And, oh, by the way, he's going to do two jobs in 2025. In a weird, strange way, you have to almost admire it, or you do admire it, because of the chutzpah involved in this and the fact that they're like, even though they know that John Mozeliak's presence is costing them business, right? Even they know in some sixth sense that he's a huge PR problem, fan relations problem, and no one's going to trust anything until he's totally gone, right? And hopefully by then, Chaim Bloom will build some credibility and he won't be damaged by the fact that he's the one who's not the president of baseball operating. If he's so smart, why didn't he take over right away? That kind of thinking. I don't agree with that because I think he's very smart. But I can understand why people would be skeptical of this. But no, even though the presence of John Mozeliak continues to be a drag on business, ticket sales, fan enthusiasm, all of that stuff. Nope, they're going to double down. That's their guy, and we're doubling down. And, you know, everyone's wondering about, well, how are they going to sell tickets next year? You know, what is there to sell? Well, they're trying to sell the young player thing, and that's all right. I don't mind that. I think they need to do that. I think if that's a marketing strategy, it may not quite, stir up people rushing to click, going to the internet and buy some tickets, or to go downtown and buy some tickets. But no, they need to play young players. They need to They really need to work in some of their young pitchers in 2025. And they need to fully commit to young players like Gorman and Walker. And there's other ones that we could name. I just said Gorman and Walker because I had a little glitch there. So I wanted to repeat that. They got to recommit to those guys and play them and play them and play them and play them and find out everything there is to find out so they can have a much more broader base of knowledge about whether of all these younger players, hitters and pitchers, like who is going to move forward with them? Who can they build around? That's an important step to take. I just don't trust the people that are going to be making these decisions. See, and that's, here we go again about Mo doubling down on him. So let me see if I get this straight. So you're going to have the same people who created this problem. They're going to be identifying who we're building around and who we're not. Same people that traded away Randy Arozarena, gave up on Adolis Garcia, which it's a little bit of a cheap shot, but I don't even want to review that again. But the people that couldn't get it right in their evaluations and their hype with, you know, Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, on and on and on and on and on. The people that traded Sandy Alcantara and Zach Gallen for Marcell Ozuna, it was a two-year rental, on and on and on and on. So, but you're going to entrust where the Cardinals have failed to develop young hitters to fruition, to where they're like a core player and you can count on them for the next 5, 6, 7 years or whatever. But you're going to have them making the determination. Is that right? Okay, smart. Sarcasm. Anyway, so the Cardinals are going to do it their way. So what do they have to sell? I don't know. What they have to sell is the something that they have an allergic reaction to, which I've used the word rebuild 100 times already in this video. You have to sell the fact that this is overdue. It's necessary. We have to take some money from player development, or take money and put it into player development, farm system, all this stuff. And if we're going to cut back on some payroll, and we're going to explore the trade market, because we think they can't say this publicly yet because they got to talk to the players, because we think there's some players we have that would be of interest and value to other organizations. And if we can, they can't say this again, I'm just speaking, you know, if they can trade a Ryan Helsley instead of losing him to free agency a year from now, it makes sense given the state that they're in. They would get a nice package for Ryan Helsley in return. But again, who's going to be making those trades? The president of baseball operations and the general manager. Two titles, two jobs, John Mozeliak. So I mentioned this yesterday. I want to mention again, do we really trust him to be overseeing this process where they're evaluating their young players to establish whether they're part of the core going forward? And do we want him doing the ones that's like selling hypothetically a Sonny Gray, a Nolan Arenado, a Wilson Contreras, a Ryan Helsley? There's others, but you get the point. So all paths, even though they're starting this new thing with Chaim Bloom for 2025 at the major league level, all paths lead to, you know who, John Mozeliak, still in the middle of everything. Still in position to inflict even more damage to the St. Louis Cardinals. Good luck selling all that. Good luck with your marketing campaign. I just hope that if it's a pretty good team next year with a lot of good energy with the young players and all that, that the fans will try to forget about Mo and concentrate what they see on the field. If it's a nice product, and I don't know what it'll be or not. It's not going to be a great product, but sometimes when you're told we have to rebuild, please ride with us. We want your patience. We want your support. We know we have to earn it again. We need to reestablish our credibility. So be with us during this time. We're going to come out of it better. There's a lot of ways they can go through marketing pitches. That's not my job, but I'm just saying. They have put themselves in a position to where their sales job to the public, to the fan base, to the customers, their sales pitch is harder today than it was 2 days ago. Because at least there was some hope that Chaim Bloom was going to take everything over, but he's not. So if they thought they had a hard time selling tickets in 2024, that mission, that goal is even more arduous now, because when you go against the grain, you go against public sentiment, and you not only stay with John Mozeliak, you double down and you give him the general manager title as well. What do you think is going to happen in terms of the fan reaction to that? What do you think? Did you think that one through? Did you give that one some thought? I guess I've defended John Mozeliak a lot of things. And his first 8 years or so on the job were really, really good. And I'm not one of these people that scrubs him from history and pretends he had nothing to do with success. Go look at the 2011 World Series roster. Tell me what you find. Tell me which players were brought in by Mozeliak. And I'm not here to relitigate that. At one point, he was really good at his job. He was really effective. And yeah, that's a fact. All you got to do is look at the record. But he lost his touch a long time ago, the complacency, the arrogance, the haughtiness, and just allowing everything to get outdated. But you're at a time in your franchise right now. You're at a pivot, you know, where you're trying to set up a better future, which could be sold and could get people enthusiastic, but not with the guy that got you in the mess, now he's going to be in charge of this big turnaround in 2025, which could mean offloading talented players that you do have and making judgments on young players. All right, I'm being redundant. It's just amazing to me how tone deaf they still are and the arrogance that's still there. That's the scary thing. They are not truly humbled yet. I guess they're going to test the limits of the patience and the support of Cardinals fans. As if they didn't get the message in 2024, they're going to test it again, aren't they, in 2025? All right, I'll shut up now. You all have a wonderful day. I'm going to try to get back here to do something else. And by the way, we didn't even talk about Ali Marmol yet. That's the other thing. He's back, so that's going to be even harder to get people fired up. Whether there's merit in bringing him back or not, that's not the point. From a PR ticket sales standpoint, it's not going to help matters. All right. Listen, thanks again for your support here on the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube. We'll be back soon. Thank you very much, as always. Much appreciated. Much thankful to you.